Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Injured at work in a motor vehicle accident or had a fall in a public space? Speak to Your Claim Lawyers, a no-win, no-fee personal injury claims law firm that specialises in maximising compensation claims for injured people. Call 1-800-YOUR-CLAIM or yourclaimlawyers.com.au.
The Sporting Capital with Sam Hargraves on SEN.
So there's a BBL draft that's coming. How does it work? What's involved? Who are we going to get? And what does it mean for the future of the BBL? We're going to find out in just a moment. Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Sporting Capital. 1-300-736-736 is the number. You can call any time on the Harcourts open line, or you can call 0433 98 11 16 on the Temper text. Temper, a mattress like no other. At 7:30, Liam Santamaria is going to join us. We're going to talk a bit of basketball. NBA draft tomorrow, US time. I've just got to get the times right. It's either tomorrow morning or Friday morning. But either way, it's my last show for the week because of Thursday night footy. So I thought we'd get an idea from him about who are the Australians that are in line to be drafted. We caught up with Ricky Daniels a few months ago, who was a great of Bendigo basketball, won titles with the Bendigo Braves in the old CBA. His son, Dyson Daniels, has been playing over in the G League with the G League Ignite. He's been rocketing up draft board calculations, but there's some other Aussies that have been over there trialing as well. And we'll speak to him about the return of the great Lauren Jackson as well. Just repeating the news just before we went into the ad break that Collingwood have released a statement in regards to Jordan Ngoi, that he will be taking personal leave and will not be taking part in their round 15 match this weekend against the Giants on Sunday. They've said he's been absent from training this week and the club will continue to support him on his return to their football program. That just came through a few moments ago from Collingwood's media department. So that is the latest there. 1-300-736-736 or 0433 98 11 16. Let's get to our feature guest.
They've got to be proactive sooner rather than later, just as we've spoken about before on this program, mate, about the competition out there and the other opportunities for players around the world. So they need to do something very soon, and hopefully they can. Hopefully they can lure some big players, and if these South African one days in January aren't happening, hopefully that means our Aussie-born and bred stars can be at the forefront of the big bash.
Adam Gilchrist speaking to Gerard Whateley a little earlier today. One of the most fiercely debated topics on this station is always about the BBL. What you like about it, what you don't like about it, what you do to change it. Well, hearing all of those sentiments come through, Cricket Australia, I reckon, have taken on board that there could be more to be done, and that this product is such an important piece now in the cricket summer that anything in terms of innovation, any ideas, any ways that it can be done better need to be listened to and listened to strongly. So much so that they've actually gone and hired out an expert in the field. Trent Woodhill has been a list manager with the Melbourne Stars. He has coached in the short form of the game in the WBBL and the BBL. He was an advisor to the ECB on the launch of the 100. This man is the quintessential ideas man, and there was a press release released today regarding the BBL, an exciting new addition an exciting new feature to the season on the way that the teams are going to be put together. To explain to us what the BBL draft is all about, Trent Woodhill has been good enough to jump on the Sporting Capital. Trent, hello, mate.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Trent, your position with Cricket Australia, let's get to the bottom of that first and foremost so people know exactly what your role is. Player acquisition and cricket consultant.
Yeah, it's a strange title, but a good title. It basically just means I'm the person they can sound off. I can come in with some ideas and we can provide a link between CA, the clubs, myself, players. And it's my job to provide suggestions and information on how to improve competitions, improve matches, games, the way it's played. And at the moment, it's around, obviously, the BBL draft and how we can create more excitement and more coverage around how we recruit overseas players.
So just with that role, obviously, the 100 was received so well, and a big part of that was the draft. And I would imagine that the Cricket Australia are looking to tap into your brain the same way that the ECB did. I'm sure it's not going to be just sort of carbon copy. Do you really have what would, for many who love lateral thinking, who love out-of-the-box ideas, do you maybe have one of the best jobs in cricket at the moment? You are an ideas man.
Yeah, I've always been a person who looks to do something different and to do that in a way that is there a better way of doing things rather than just change for change's sake. And I've sort of been able to stand apart from others and look through a different lens on how we can do things. The 100 was an amazing experience in my life in terms of how that was put together, and it was successful. But what got me involved in the first place was just how big the IPL was and how much people want to be involved in the sport from the very beginning of picking teams. And with CA, I've come on board to help them establish a draft. There's some obviously rule changes that I helped with, but mainly it's around this BBL draft on how we can create some excitement by trying to lure the best players in the world to our competition, which we've had a really good success at over the last 11 years. What the draft does is allows us to make that a clearer process for both fans and clubs, and also a really easy way for players to make their availability clear and how much they want to do that. So I think the BBL draft will appeal to fans, overseas players and obviously the domestic players as well.
Got to commend Cricket Australia on this, Trent, because the crowds have been dropping. As we know, the ratings have been dropping as well. But this product is worth about half of the overall cricket rights deal, about $1.18 billion. So it is crucial to the yearly success of the summer and such a massive showpiece and almost the jewel in the crown when you look at it, probably just obviously outside of the summer tests. So it's so important to get this right. So this is big ticket item number one, or the first of your innovations that you're bringing in, yep. As you mentioned, a couple of rule changes as well. So let's talk us through, explain how the draft is going to work.
So you'll have players have an opportunity to nominate, and they'll nominate through some different salary bands, and each club will have the opportunity to secure a player in three out of the four bands. With that, we've got a platinum band, a gold band, silver, bronze. This will give also players across the world an opportunity to nominate for, whether it's for gold, silver, or bronze, but also their availability. At the moment, there's so many opportunities for players around the world to play T20. We'll have a clear idea of that availability for clubs so they can start working out whether they need an all-rounder, a fast bowler, a batter, and what that availability looks like as well.
Is there a cap on how many players can nominate as a platinum player or a gold player?
Yeah, the platinum band will be league nominated. So that's targeting those global superstars of the T20 format. But players can nominate for gold, silver and bronze. They can nominate for gold, silver or just gold. And once again, that then gives the clubs an idea of what they need to do in their draft order to secure the best talent. Clubs will have different viewpoints on who's worth what as to where they fit in their list. And the beauty of the draft and seeing it in the 100 and seeing the auction, the IPL, is you start thinking about this now as a club. You start figuring out what do you need to supplement your domestic list and the way your squad's lined up. So you start looking at that now. You'll see as the names come in, as they nominate, who best fits your squad, and then you've got to hope that you're in a position to be able to draft them ahead of somebody else.
So for those that play Fantasy League, they'll automatically have their spidey senses tingling on this one, Trent. But who sets the player's price? Does the league set it, or does the player set their own price as to what they want to be paid?
Yeah, the players will set their price as to what they want to be paid in that gold, silver, or bronze category.
Yep.
And the league will nominate the platinum players who we see fit in consultation with the clubs, who we see fit as players of extraordinary value and basically global superstars of the game. But, yeah, there'll be some who will be happy to just be part of the BBL, and there'll be others who want to come for a gold-plated price.
So, Trent, this has been a bugbear of BBL fans and people who have engaged with the products. They've always bemoaned the lack of international star power, and that's some of the feedback that we get in real time when we're calling the games and I'm calling the games, which I absolutely love doing. So given now the increase in the money being made available and this exciting way of bringing them in, give me some names that we think that we're looking to attract. So give me the kind of caliber of player that we think now that we can bring to the BBL.
I think just on that point, I think the BBL has always attracted big name players. There's guys like Malinga, Peterson, Butler, Livingston, Pollard, Russell, Rashid Khan, AB de Villiers of recent times. Yeah, then some of the West Indian superstars like Holder and Brathwaite and Sonnen and Ryan. So I think we've always been able to attract players. I think what this draft does is it filters that down into an opportunity for them, to up in lights in June, then a draft in August. And so I think those stars like a Russell, Fatou Sy, Rashid Khan, Sonnen and Ryan, Dwayne Bravo, especially. I mean, Dwayne Bravo wins cricket games wherever he's been, and we saw him still in the IPL. He's still killing it.
Yep.
Pollard's still doing great. Fatou Sy, such a wonderful leader. So I'm confident that caliber of player are all looking to be involved in the BBL. Yep. I'm excited to see if and when they nominate.
And it's a great reminder you give us of the names we have had. I think what the point is mainly focused at is when those players have been able to be here. It's sort of been like the A-League in the early, you might have been get Del Piero, but who else has been in the competition? So what it looks to me that this does is instead of there being one or two, there might be five or six across the competition rather than just at a couple of the franchises. So that's really exciting. So how does a selection order work? So who gets first pick?
There'll be a lottery for the bottom three clubs who finished there last year to see who gets first pick in the draft, and then there'll be a lottery for the top five teams in the competition last year, and then that'll determine the order. But also, just on your point too about those big names, is that you mentioned the IPL. There's been a history too of players coming here and doing well in BBL and then getting IPL contracts, and by being selected in a draft, it's a higher profile than just being signed behind closed doors. This alerts IPL clubs. So players of all standard, whether you're a star on the rise or a star looking to bounce back, the BBL offers players an opportunity to perform prior to the IPL auction in January. So that's where that's exciting as well. And clubs now, moneyballing it, they'll be looking to work out how do I find a star on the rise? So trying to find someone with value for money. How do I bring in that star power to try and excite the group from within as well? And I think that's what, having seen people like Malinga and Kevin Peterson up close to the stars, it's amazing how they drag other players into that next level and improve their performance. So this is where I'm excited about a draft, just from start to finish, how much chat is already started about that and what the players will look like within different squads.
Speaking to Trent Woodhill, Cricket Australia's player acquisition and cricket consultant, about the BBL draft announced today. Trent, just on some other BBL-related points of conversation. So the ICC in recent weeks announcing a clear window for the IPL. So just another leg up and again showing the power of the IPL and short-form cricket, it's now not going to have to compete for international talent. How close would we be doing something like that in the Australian summer?
It's an interesting point. I think the FTP, the Future Tours program, is a fully loaded program, and what I love is choice. So I love the short form side of the game. I love the nuances that creates. So players will have the opportunity to choose their own path. But I think also you'll find that they coexist. That international cricket and franchise cricket, they suit one another. You need both to progress and grow the game. And also that's above my pay grade too on who plays and who doesn't and how that's set up. But I know, the BBL, we find a wonderful place that people want to play, the BBL, and that's my focus, is making sure that we've got a tournament that attracts overseas players and domestic players enjoy playing. So that's what other leagues will be trying to set up. And in between that, you've got international cricket, which is so important, and also guides the fans, and we love those contests between the different nations, whether it's in red ball or the different forms of white ball.
Dan Bredig reporting in The Age today that it's looking like a new massive TV rights deal by the BCCI in regards to the IPL, which could, and the example that's been given, it's going up to $6 billion, and which could take someone like Pat Cummins, based on percentages and what they're expecting the share of the players part of that revenue to be, it could take him from, say, $2 million a season, possibly up to $10 million. When it comes to something like that and the BBL looking to continue to grow and develop, do you try to keep up with the Joneses, or do you just go, that look, that's not a fight and that's not a weight division we're going to be able to fight in? And then you try and make sure that what you're offering and your product in the BBL is of its own nature, that it's unique to itself.
Yeah, I think you've got to see the positive in this, is that cricket is a huge, huge game. It's growing. It's not shrinking. And that there's always that carrot for players of any nationality to want to play in the IPL for both the opportunity to play in it, but also the money that's on offer. But I think you said it there, is that the BBL has a tournament like no other. In the summer, beaches, sun, fun, barbecues, Christmas. It just works. It's fun. And what you notice about the BBL is the players get the smiles on their faces. And as we move out of the COVID world and we have those crowds back and we get that opportunity to go on and enjoy live sport again, the BBL will be at the forefront of that in the Australian summer. And I don't think that's going to change. And I think it's always going to attract high quality of overseas player, and it's always going to be a pathway for Australian players to be up in lights. And so state players who are coming into the game who might be playing in front of a handful of people, in a state match, all of a sudden thrust into a BBL limelight. It's live on television. There's 30,000 or 40,000 people watching them, and that gives you that buzz. And I think that's what the players enjoy as well. So I think it sits in its own window and will continue to do so and continue to attract the best.
Brilliant. And I think this is a great way of and with the increase in money too to attract international players, the draft's going to be a really exciting addition to the BBL. And the other part, just we've got to let you go, but the other thing that I think the BBL is starting to do, and Tim David's a great example of that, is that you don't try to compete, you try and feed. And Tim David's a great example of someone who's made his name in the BBL and got attracted and drew the attention of the IPL and a $1.5 million deal, and he had a brilliant season as well. So what we can do to help that competition, and then Jofra Archer's another one. The Pakistani quick as well. And I've just had a mental blank.
Harris Ralph.
Harris Ralph. Sorry, I just had a mental blank.
Harris Ralph. Yep.
So I think
that was a classic case. You had this young man who was just full of energy and such a talent. Being given an opportunity. Through the guys of Nick Cummins, and just how well he had his relationship with the Hawke Killanders. But all of a sudden, in the space of 6 months, you had this young man bowling 150 k's an hour, and then because of that thrust into the international game, and now he's a, you know, he's a global T20 superstar, and that's the beauty of the BBL, and that's the carrot as well for players around the world who want to be part of it.
Got to let you go, Trent, but can you give us just a little preview on, as we've said, you are the new ideas man to take the BBL into its next iteration. Anything else you can give us an inkling towards? I know you've got more up your sleeve, surely.
I think at the moment, and it's just head down, he's back on the draft. But there'll be plenty of good things ahead, I reckon.
Brilliantly done. Hey, Trent, thanks so much for taking us inside the detail of the new BBL draft. Congratulations on the announcement. We can't wait to see it in its reality.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it, mate.
You're listening to The Sporting Capital with Sam Hargraves on SEN.
Some text coming through after our chat about the BBL draft. I'll get to those in just a moment. And Liam Santa Maria to join me next. Rob in Doncaster East. G'day, Rob.
Hi, mate. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Good. Just wanted to have just see what you thought about the Jordy Degoe situation that's come through, where he's now taking personal time from the game. I was wanting to know, through all the constant bullying and harassment he's copped all week, is it any wonder that he now needs time away? I wanted to see what you thought about that. I've actually never seen anything like it over something that's, you know, to a lot of people isn't a big deal.
And to a lot of people it is. I don't think he's been bullied or harassed, but I that's your opinion. You're absolutely entitled to it. If he needs some time to get his head around what's going on, to get his head around what's to come. Contract negotiations put off until the end of the year. I would be surprised if the week hadn't taken a toll on him. So I'm glad to see that he's taking the time away. The club is supporting him, and he's going to get the help that he needs just to get his head around what's just unfolded. I think that's a good thing that he's taking it seriously.
Yeah, well, I was thinking he obviously needs it because yep, in some degree, yes, he's done the wrong thing. He's put himself in a bad position. But at the end of the day, I think the front page of the Herald, the Age,
We're just going to crash into this ad break. I'm really sorry. I don't mean to cut you off.
You're listening to The Sporting Capital with Sam Hargraves on SEN.
Greatly appreciate your company if you're just joining us or you've just been sticking with us throughout. It is wonderful to have you on board. 1300 736 736, of course, on the Harcourts open line. You can call at any stage or you can text in 0433 98 11 16 off the Temper text. Temper, a mattress like no other. Just off the text, typical this day and age, cut me off because I don't agree with the minority. I apologise. I can't move that ad break, so it wasn't intentional. And then you'd hung up when we weren't able to get a chance to get you back. So it wasn't intentional. I do apologise. It wasn't done just to shut it down. The ad break that was just coming up then, I actually couldn't move. So there was no devious intent, no ulterior motive there. I just couldn't move the ad break. A couple off the text before we get to our next special guest. Big game for the Pies, who will jump into the eight if they win. That's from Chris. I like this one from Dean. Dean, I've got this on my list of things to say as well, but I'll let you do it for us. Congratulations to Mason Cox, who was given Australian citizenship today. That's a very special day. I reckon Mason Cox is one of the great AFL stories. To triumph, the Mason Cox story. It is brilliant for the game. He's been a wonderful addition to it, a unique perspective, a unique addition, an incredible story. I don't know if we spent enough time celebrating the Mason Cox story. So we tried to get him on today, understandably. Collingwood not doing a heap of media at the moment, but we were really keen to get him on and talk more to him about his road to get to Australia and his journey since getting here, what he's been through now and the correction of his eyes and now what that's done to his football, and he's playing great footy. And I just think he is one of the really special football stories over the journey from people who have come abroad to play our great game. Evening, just heard Collingwood's release in regards to Degoe taking time off. Hope he is okay. He might have made mistakes, but he should still be showing a bit of compassion. Who hasn't stuffed up, but it's not shown in media? That's from Carol from Preston. Carol, I agree with you. And then a few on the BBL draft, which we'll get to in just a moment. But this week, the week's going to finish off from a basketball perspective. We've just seen the Golden State Warriors win their fourth title in 8 years. Now, the biggest item on the NBA agenda is the NBA draft. And we've got a couple of Aussies who are right in line to be drafted. So I thought, let's get one of the most astute and highly regarded writers and broadcasters in the NBL space on to just give us an update and get us prepared for who might go to where in the NBA draft. Liam Santa Maria is all of those things and more. Hello, mate.
Hello, Sam. Great to speak to you, mate.
Great to have you on. Just before we get into NBA draft, were you, just like I think every other sporting fan, when you heard the news, Megan Huswaite broke it yesterday, that Lauren Jackson, the combined seven-time NBL-NBA champion, seven-time NBL-NBA MVP, one of our greatest, if not the greatest, Australian basketballer of all time, certainly on the Mount Rushmore, was going to be making a comeback and in line to be and trying to make the World Cup squad for the Women's World Cup later in the year. Were you jumping out of your skin like the rest of us, Liam?
It's great news, isn't it? It was great to see. I mean, we've been following her progress really closely over the past few months. Of course, the early parts of this comeback have been taking place in the NBL 1 for Aubrey Wodonga in the NBL 1 competition. And it's been so exciting to see her just back out on the hardwood, doing her thing, putting up massive numbers, and then just been keeping a close eye on things just to see how the body holds up. You know, could she stay on the floor for a period of time, continue to get her confidence and her fitness back to a level where maybe we might arrive at this moment where she would, you know, be added to the Opal squad and start thinking seriously about potentially donning the green and gold once again for the upcoming World Cup. And here we are. She's managed to reach this point. Now, does that mean she'll step out there in September when the ball gets thrown up? No, not for a long shot. There are still some hurdles to jump and some water to go under that bridge. But this is a great step forward. It shows that it's something that she legitimately wants to do. And she's going to go into camp and go through that process. And who knows, would be absolutely remarkable at age 41, 9 years out of the game, if it all came to fruition and she could help our Opals team do some special things at the World Cup. What an unbelievable sporting story that would be.
She was very humble speaking to Andy and Gazy earlier today and saying, hey, I've still got a long road to go to make the squad. It's not a fait accompli. She can't say it and wouldn't because that's the person that she is. We can. No way she's not making that squad. This is the good news story Australian basketball needed after what we have had to endure and go through this year with Liz Cambridge and all that has come with that. This is the shot in the arm. This is the feel-good moment. And, I think it put a spring in everyone's step. And now there's a new contender when anyone has the greatest sporting comeback of all time conversation. Because Lauren Jackson automatically, I was driving home last night thinking, I wonder who tops that. If she does make it back for a World Cup, that's right up there in the greatest Australian sporting comebacks of all time.
Oh, it would be special. And then, of course, but, you know, that's the right attitude for her to take, though.
Yeah.
From a team sort of perspective, there's some talented girls in the in the front court that are going to be a part of that squad. And, you know, she's going to need to go into camp with that same mentality that she used to have, and that is, I've got to prove myself against you. Now, if she's feeling good, well, you and I have no doubt that she's going to be able to do that at a very high level. But that's the right attitude to take. And then, of course, it's the big question of how well does the body hold up? Because playing on a weekly basis and managing your body through in the NBL 1 is one thing. But then stepping into an Opals camp, the rigor of those back-to-back practices, and then you know, playing at that World Cup kind of level, well, that's another big step. So hopefully everything goes well between now and then. And we can see her line up for the Opals when things tip off.
Couldn't agree more. So, Liam Santa Maria, Friday morning, NBA draft. Very, very exciting. All through the year, we've been watching a young man born and raised in my hometown of Bendigo, just rocket up mm-hmm. draft board calculations. I had his father, Ricky, who's a legend of CBA and ABA basketball, on a few months ago as he was lighting it up for the G League Ignite. Dyson Daniels, where do you have him and how? I mean, last year we were giddy about Josh going number six. I'm sure I'm the first person to make that joke. Can we? Would it be greedy of us to think that we might have someone go even higher in the top 10 this year?
That's the very, very top of his range, I think, the number right. five pick. The one through four looks pretty settled. Now, the order of those four guys will be interesting to see how that plays out. But, you know, you look at the established draft analysts in the States who are talking to teams and getting a really good sense of who is going to sit where. There have been a couple that have suggested maybe that pick five to Detroit could be where Dyson might land at the very top of his range. There's been a lot of buzz just today that Indiana have been really impressed with him. They've got the sixth pick. There was a quote from a reporter over there saying that Dyson had, quote, had one of the greatest workouts a lot of people in the Indiana organization have ever seen, unquote, which is a massive compliment on what he's put on the floor. So they've got the number six pick. Anywhere within that sort of latter part of the top 10 is where we expect him to go. Probably 12 to OKC would be the floor. And this is, as you say, it's a remarkable story that we're talking about him going that high in the draft. He has just skyrocketed up this thing over the past 6-9 months. Has been terrific in the second half of the G League season for the G League Ignite. Of course, I mentioned the NBL one before. I mean, he's a success story of the junior programs here in Australia, the NBA Global Academy there at the Centre of Excellence in Canberra, and at the NBL one level there, the Bendigo Braves. And now he's going to, after Friday, he's going to be an NBA guy and he's going to take that big next step in his career.
Where are you expecting? So Indiana have got pick six. Where would we be likely to fall for you?
I reckon the most likely scenario is either 7 to Portland or 8 to New Orleans. That they feel like the kind of consensus spots for Dyson. So you look at Portland and you say, all right, well, he'd be an understudy to Damian Lillard. That's not a bad place to land. He would share that backcourt with Lillard at times early in his career because he's a guy that's versatile, can play on and off the ball, and they'll enjoy what he can do at the defensive end of the floor. And then you look at New Orleans, and it'll be a similar scenario with Lillard's former teammate in CJ McCollum. So two pretty cool landing spots, either one of those, Portland or New Orleans, I think it's 7 or 8.
Yeah, I'm a San Antonio guy, so I'd be more than happy if he slipped to 9th. But, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, the prospect of, you know, a Dyson and Zion team up and then, you know, possibly deport. I mean, it all depends on if Dame Lillard, I suppose, even stays. But that's a conversation for another day. So, okay, so your view, 7, 8, most likely. What about some of the other Aussies or NBL players? We can sort of categorise them up. So what about a couple of the Aussies? Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to some of the next stars. There's been players trialling all over the place. Let's go through a couple that have been over there trialling at the moment and their likelihood of being drafted. Luke Travers was put through his paces by Indiana. I've done it again. Has he trialled anywhere else? Oh, thanks.
He has, yeah. No, actually, speaking with his representatives, they're really happy with the way he's shown out at some of these pre-draft workouts. He's worked out with Minnesota, Cleveland, Sacramento, Dallas, Indiana, as you say, as well as Phoenix, Golden State, and the LA Clippers. Is that a busy couple of weeks, Luke Travers?
Yeah.
And that's after really impressing at the G League Elite Camp in Chicago late last month. So it's been a busy couple of weeks. And as a result, he's built a little bit of momentum throughout this pre-draft process, which is great. It's what he really desperately needed to do because he was sitting off the mock drafts for a lot of these analysts coming into the to this process. And he's done himself a whole bunch of favours. Of course, been playing with the Perth Wildcats the last couple of seasons, developing nicely within that program. And I still think it's a long shot for him to hear his name called on Friday. But if you're looking for a potential flyer, a bolter late in the process who might get drafted late in the second round, Travis certainly has put his name in that category. Yeah, fascinated to see if it plays out for him.
He spoke about the fact that he knows that it's his jump shot that he needs to work on. Players throughout time have shown that's something that's workable. There's many, many good jump shot coaches and technique coaches as well who will go through his whole... They'll break him down and all through the formatics of it all and work on that. Has he already been doing that himself?
For sure. I mean, he's, you know, that's...
Biomechanics, that's the word I was looking for. Biomechanics.
Yeah. Well, when you're this close to achieving something as remarkable as getting selected in the NBA, I mean, it's been an absolute dream of his. And when it's a really clear area of development that's on his scouting report, he will have been making a concerted effort. And we actually saw his jump shot improve a little bit throughout last season. Under, you know, the new head coach there in Perth, Scott Morrison, they were putting a lot of work into it on the day-to-day, and he was encouraging him to shoot, you know, open looks. Now, the reality is teams were leaving him open. That's the scout on Luke Travers, daring him to shoot because, you know, he can hurt you in other ways if you crawl up and in. And so that's the scenario for him. He's a versatile player. He's a bit of a Swiss Army knife in terms of what he can do out there on the floor. But the jump shot is probably the one that's holding him back. Now, you look at a guy like Joe Ingles. Early in his career, it was a very similar type scenario. They said, geez, he's tall. He can really move. He's got a great feel for the game. He's a playmaking wing. All the things that we hear spoken about Luke Travers. But he wasn't a knockdown shooter. And over the course of time, he developed into that. And that's the kind of blueprint
the rest
that Luke
is history.
Travers
yeah.
is trying to follow. So, we speak about his chances of getting picked up, Sam. If he doesn't hear his name called, that's not the end of the process, of course. Try and hook into a team for summer league, try to get a two-way contract, a training camp deal, more opportunities to come.
So we don't have a heap of time left, but Liam Santa Maria, so we know that Makua Maker has been trialling as well with a few teams. I saw that he was at Charlotte the other day, and then some of the next stars. So these aren't Aussies, but they were playing in Australia last year. So Usman Dieng, Hugo Besson, Kai Soto, who was with the 36ers, has been trialling. Are there any other Aussie names or any next stars that you're expecting to be called out Friday morning?
Yeah, well, the two big ones, the guys you said there, the French duo from the New Zealand Breakers, Usman Dieng and Hugo Besson. Dieng, of course, part of the Next Stars program. Besson was on that team essentially as a Next Star, but he was signed as an import. 19 years of age, Dieng, 6'10 guy who can handle the ball, and he is slotted to go somewhere in the middle of that first round. So probably the top of his range is that 8 pick to New Orleans, back to about 17 for the Houston Rockets, should fall somewhere in there. And Hugo Besson, somewhere within the second round is the expectation for him. Maybe 38 to your San Antonio Spurs or somewhere in the mid-40s. But these two guys developed really nicely in the NBL last season and have given themselves a big chance of getting picked up.
Any other Aussie names? We know that Joelle Chule's going to go through Summer League. He's not draft eligible. He's left Melbourne United. He'll play Summer League and see if he can get picked up that way. But is there anyone else we should be keeping an eye out for that's connected to us in any way, shape or form?
Well, Kai Soto, of course, is not Aussie, a Filipino, but played with the Adelaide 36ers last season, has done a whole bunch of workouts, and he's hoping to hear his name called. And the other one you mentioned, of course, Makua Maker. He was terrific for the Sydney Kings last season in their championship campaign. Played a really important role for that team off the bench. And he's been a busy boy as well. He's worked out for a dozen NBA teams in the past couple of months. Unlikely to hear his name called on Friday, but is an outside chance. And then if he doesn't, look for him to latch onto a team for Summer League and try to work his way into the association from there. So a bunch of guys, Aussies and internationals out of the NBL, are well and truly in the mix.
I've got Alex. So no NBL Cup. Are you for or against the NBL Cup, Liam Santa Maria? I've got to ask this because I get bombarded with texts from Alex and it clogs up the whole text line. No NBL Cup, yes or no?
No. I liked it in the COVID season. It was a good solution for the NBL during that period of time. But moving forward on the annual, I think no.
Thank you very much, my friend. We'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Dad.
Liam Santamaria, NBL writer, broadcaster, and talent watcher as we get ready for the NBA draft on Friday morning. Off the text, I've got mail that Detroit have committed to Dyson at pick 5. Yeah, Liam not thinking he goes any higher than 7th. So the number ending in 550. We'll see how you go. Hey, you've got to come back and wrap up the show straight after this. Hey, I didn't want to leave this week without sending a cheerio to mine and the station and I think everyone that engages with SEN's very good friend. I've only just seen this text, Muzz. I apologise I didn't get you one earlier. But a very good friend, Muzz, who rings in, who texts in a lot. He has SEN playing 24/7. Unfortunately, lost his guide dog this week and he's not feeling great. Muzz, I'm thinking of you. I hope you're doing okay on behalf of the whole station and those who listen regularly to it. Love you, mate, and thinking of you. Look after yourself. And I'm really sorry to hear that's happened to you. And we'll speak to you very soon, I'm sure. I just left you a voicemail just to try and get in touch with you, but I'll speak to you soon. Hey, enjoy a massive weekend of footy. Thursday night footy tomorrow night. You won't miss a moment of it. The best call team in the industry. It's 2v1. Melbourne v Brisbane and all top eight teams playing another top eight team. Can't wait for it. Enjoy it. Driver's seat's up next.
Stuff for your face and body? It's men's skincare with a purpose. Top quality Aussie-made grooming and skincare to help guys look and feel great with no hassles. Plus, Stuff is helping mental health too. Find Stuff at Woolworths or visit websiteofstuff.com.